haven't heard this one in a while. This is Talk Story, the longest running talk show in Maui. Been doing it 30 years. And yes, you're right. We're going to be talking about Jimmy. Rosalind Modica and the Electric Church Maui presenting an amazing 76th birthday bash this coming Saturday at Mulligan's. Oh, it's going to be awesome. And it's good to see you, Rosalind. How are you?
Thank you so much, Cindy Polos, the legendary, famous Cindy Polos, who's everywhere and does everything.
Well, this is quite a birthday party, and you've been doing it for years now, haven't you?
This is the sixth year, and 6 years ago, I was authorized by the Jimi Hendrix Foundation, the 501c3 national organization, established in the settlement of the Jimi Hendrix estate as the nonprofit foundation in a relationship to the commercial entity of Jimi Hendrix.
That's a mouthful.
It is. It is. But I want to make sure I get these words right because I want it represented correctly. I'm very proud and honored to be able to do these events.
Yeah, and you brought in a great book, Hendrix on Hendrix. My gosh, some of the interviews I have never seen before. And you have a beautiful poster that's out. This big event is happening this Saturday, November 24th at Mulligan's from 7 to 10. And our own Kathy Collins will be there.
Yay!
MC. We all love Kathy, don't we? Everyone loves Kathy.
Love her so much. I'm very appreciative. She is so busy also everywhere and does everything as you do.
And you're going to make it quite an amazing gathering of some of Maui's top musicians. And, I mean, who wouldn't want to play Jimi Hendrix, right? I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, because Jimmy's so loved that it's like, I'm sure, a lot of our best guitarists, right, want to just say, yes, I want to play that.
Absolutely. I had to turn away a few people over the years, and I tried to bring everyone in as much as possible. We are limited this year, 7 to 10 p.m. at Mulligan's. Some of these shows have gone 5 hours in other venues. So with this one, we have to keep it tight. But I'm very happy, and we're very blessed this year to have Vince Esquire and Nils Rosenblad, who have supported the event from the beginning, mm-hmm. Benny Uitaki, who's also supported the event from the beginning, Kavika Ortiz. We have David Elberg, a phenomenal talent, bringing in Electric Ladyland songs. We have Brenton Keith, who starred in the AC/DC shows here and is also a magic magician at Mulligan's Tuesday nights, who's a phenomenal performer, just a delight. Annie from Annie and the Orphans. I will be singing a few songs. And we also have Howard Ahia, very talented and respected musician, and other players may be dropping in. Mm-hmm. One of them coming in late in the night is Jeff Hornbeck. So we're trying to keep it as packed tight as possible, and we hope next year we can extend the time frame. But please come a little early and stay late, but we will be 7 to 10.
And tickets are at Eventbrite and at Mulligan's. You can get tickets at Mulligan's. It's hard to kind of imagine Jimmy at 76, but I think he would be still doing great guitar if he were alive. I mean, the guy was really one of the best, but, you know, he would have evolved, and I mean, he was kind of getting into jazz towards his last year.
Absolutely. And, yeah. Well, one of Jimmy's last wishes and projects towards the very end of his career was to work with a symphony. He was planning a symphonic piece.
Really?
Yes, and he was not able to bring that to us, but We have the opportunity to work with that concept of bringing in classical music and symphonic music to rock, which a number of bands have already experimented with, such as Metallica and Alter Bridge and
Moody Blues did.
Absolutely.
Yellow and you know, it's interesting. We all rave about Jimmy as a guitarist, but, you know, as I'm thinking about this, and you brought in two CDs, and I actually haven't held a CD from Jimmy in my hands in a long time. But you know what? He was not only a great guitarist. He wrote some very powerful words as well. I mean, words that kind of really became part of my vocabulary, Castles Made of Sand, you know, The Wind Cries Mary. I mean, there were some very spiritual aspects to his words.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, you think about it, you know, this, I mean, oh my gosh, son, I think about that. Even Axel's Axis of Love, the Axis song was amazing. Purple Haze and Stone Free. I mean, a lot of them were really, I mean, kind of acid-based. Sure, they were. I mean, absolutely, no doubt about that. But he was just a creative genius, really. And you think about what he did in the brief time, because he died so young, you know, and you can't help but wonder, gosh, where would that have evolved to, you know?
Absolutely. Jimmy was a poet and a storyteller equal to any of the great writers in our history. And people don't know that because they only associate the hits and the thrusts of the hits musically, but if you dig deep and go into his lyrics, he brought a consciousness of earth as being third stone from the sun, meaning wake up, look out, look into the stars, look forward spiritually to another journey. Another time.
And gosh, I hadn't heard this one in a long time. May This Be Love. Remember that song?
It's beautiful.
Lover. What was that? May This Be Love or Confusion? Is that it? I got to find
and
that
that's
out.
And that is another one. May This Be Love is the waterfall song.
Oh, and great one. We got to play a little of that. I haven't heard this in ages. Oh, yeah. This is so good to hear again.
So beautiful.
And he kind of captures the sound, that water sound on this one. As well.
Absolutely.
I always think of the song as Waterfall. May This Be Love.
Yes. And Howard Ahio will be doing this song.
Oh, will he?
Show. Yes. And I wonder if Jimmy even wrote this on Maui, because he did on Maui, and he was here July 30th, 1970, shortly before he passed away for Rainbow Bridge.
You know what? I think you could be. And the rainbows and the waterfall.
Yeah.
And it has a Maui feel. I really would love to see if there's any. I guess there's no way to ever know. But it does have a Maui feel to it.
It certainly does. Yeah, Maui was very special to him. I am friends with the last gypsy, Billy Cox, his bass player, who was here on Maui for Rainbow Bridge. And we are hoping to bring Rainbow Bridge Revisited.
Oh, wouldn't that be
something? Along with the 50th anniversary of Woodstock coming up in 2019.
Oh,
Cindy,
my gosh.
Maybe you would like to help me with that
event. Yeah, oh, I would, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when we think about what Jimmy was doing, I mean, and how many people, including Carlos Santana, so many musicians say this is their favorite musician that inspired them. And that's why it's really great to honor him on his 76th birthday bash, you know, because his spirit definitely lives on in his music. And there's no doubt about it, you know.
Absolutely.
Have you ever checked to see? I mean, I bet so many people have done his music over the years, so many of them, right?
Absolutely. From Stevie Ray Vaughan, just within the last period of time, Little Wing and Voodoo Child. His renditions of Little Wing and Voodoo Child are incredible.
Yeah. Little Wing, God. And Sting, of course, did the famous version of that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Third Stone from the Sun. And so
and this
many.
This one, we've got to play a second of this one. I love this one, too.
But who in your measly little world?
Are you?
I'm going to be singing this. With
Are you
going
to do that?
Yes, I'm going to do this one with Mills at the end. Yeah, I've done this with him before.
Have you?
Yeah, I have the lyrics for if you want to keep them for years.
Oh, great!
Just for fun. Yeah. So, I'd like to read something.
Yeah.
What put Jimi Hendrix in a phenomenal stratosphere all his own, besides the integral factors of his musicianship, was the whole array of imagination, science, sexuality, violence, humor, politics, playfulness, earthliness, cosmology, philosophy, spirituality, poetry, love, and every conceivable emotion that can be applied to music and lyrics.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you are going to be doing a costume party and a costume contest as well with prizes.
Yes, I can't help myself.
Come on. Isn't this going to be a lot of tie-dye here?
Oh,
you think we're going to see a lot of tie-dye?
Well, you know, many people have been calling me because I have a collection of costumes.
Do you?
I have a number of Jimi Hendrix vests from the East, and I have a collection of beautiful ruffled shirts and things like that.
Velvet
so the musicians.
Pants? Do you have any purple velvet pants?
Oh, look, Cindy, what size?
I used to have velvet pants. Those, you know, the crushed velvet.
Yeah.
Bell bottoms. I had amazing. The years I've lost them, but they were. You remember the crushed velvet?
Oh,
and
I love
Janice
that. I can see
too.
You. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so it's going to be fun on that end if you feel like having some fun.
Yeah, we have some little silly prizes, but I really want to bring the spirit of love and the positive vibration that Jimmy so much wanted to express and bring forth in his music. So this night is about love. It's about love for Jimmy, and it's about raising people up.
On the quote you use here, if I don't see you no more in this world, see you in the next one, don't be late. Is that from? Is that I Don't Live Today?
That is Jimi Hendrix.
Is that I Don't Live Today? It might be.
Yeah. Voodoo Child.
Oh, that's Voodoo Child.
That's Voodoo Child.
Oh.
And we're going to be closing with Voodoo Child. And Voodoo Child has just an amazing, powerful lyric in it. And yes, if I don't see you no more in this world, I'll see you in the next one.
Don't be late. And we have to remember that part of Jimmy that was so amazing, that absolutely loved the blues. And of course, we love the blues, and you love the blues. And there is going to be that part that's going to be celebrated as well. And that's like, I mean, those are the ones that a lot of guitarists would like to play, right? The blues part.
Well, Jimmy wrote Red House, which is really a classic, and a lot of people don't realize that he wrote that song. And also, there's a great he does a great rendition of Killing Floor, which is old Howling Wolf song. So a really heavy blues with that rendition, and he is so blues-based,
but
he took it several steps beyond, and that's for sure. So his experience playing with the Isley Brothers and Little Richard and the Jimmy and the Blue Flames, all of these circuit black blues musicians that did the Chitlin Circus, they called it, they really gave Jimmy a foundation in the blues, and the real blues.
And of course, he made it big in London.
That's right.
And then came back and was able to be recognized in America. But London embraced him.
That's right.
And he hung out with some of the greats there who realized right away what they were hearing. He was playing small clubs. And I think it was Eric Clapton, some others just went in and went, my God. And the first night was like slow, and one of the great ones went in there. And maybe even Paul McCartney. And the next night, he tells him the story how the next night, all the other guys heard about it and came in and were blown away by him.
Right. Mick Jagger was in the audience, mm-hmm. and The Who were in the audience, mm-hmm. Paul McCartney. And an interesting story is that Paul McCartney, he heard Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Jimmy heard it the night before, and he learned the song. And then
really?
Played it the next day, and Paul McCartney was in the audience.
Oh my gosh,
Sgt. Pepper's.
That. Well, this is, we got to do a second of this here because Red House.
Cindy, we've got to get those pants. I've got to.
Yeah, it's slow blues.
Beautiful.
That's he just owning it, right? He just owned it.
Absolutely.
I think that was the thing that blew people away. He was so freaking competent on stage. He just got up there and he was fearless. He just got up there and did things that no one could believe you could really do. He was one of the first to do what he did with his guitar, you know?
Absolutely.
Of course, playing with his teeth and playing backwards on his back, you know?
And setting the guitar on fire.
Yeah. I mean, that's classic blues.
It's interesting how many people pop up here and there on Maui. I engage them in conversation about Jimi Hendrix, and they say, oh, I was there, and I knew Jimmy, and I did this, and I did that. The other day, I met somebody who was part of Track Records, and Track Records only had three artists in England. It was The Who, Jimi Hendrix,
wow.
and Arthur Lee, who did the song
Fire.
Fire. So that, and here he is on Maui in Makawao, you know. And then it's just amazing to see how all of this connects. And I feel very blessed and honored again to bring this and legacy into light here on Maui at this time.
Well, you know what? We have such great musicians here, as you know.
Yes.
And they're doing it here when they could be doing it anywhere.
Yes.
You know? But they're doing it here because they like the Maui lifestyle. And some of them have kids. They want to make sure the kids grow up, including Niels, right?
Yes.
And others. But the roots of these things are pretty amazing. And again, I can't help driving. Whenever I drive by up Baldwin Avenue, I think of that park, at Rainbow Bridge there. I try to imagine. I talked to someone once. I forget who it was that was there. I'm sure you've talked to people who've been there, right?
I have.
Who have stories about that.
I have. And as I teach voice and dance and theater, and in my one of my students was married to the Baldwin, one of the Baldwin family. So I got inside a little bit on how the event went and where it was, and maybe you and I'll sneak up there sometime.
Yeah, no, because it was a defining moment, you know, of that whole scene, right? It was an absolute Purple Haze. I had to take you right back. Oh, wow. And these words are all tomorrow, or just the end of time. I mean, I know all the words still, right?
Right.
And I got to do, I haven't heard I Don't Live Today in ages. Oh my gosh, I got to play some of I Don't Live Today.
Yeah, it's a magnificent song.
It is. I haven't heard this in so long. This is giving the drummer, it's getting.
Will I live tomorrow?
Yeah,
well,
it's
just can't say.
Very sophisticated jazz elements to Mitch Mitchell's drumming. Very sophisticated.
Well, I just can't
and, you know, Jimmy played with John McLaughlin.
Yes.
And Jimmy, Jimmy played with jazz people, some classical people. He played with anybody, you know, everybody that he could.
Yeah, and you know, when you think of what happened that year, it was so strange. We lost Janis, Jimmy, and Jim Morrison.
Right.
Called the 27 Club?
Right.
Where the three that year. And that kind of woke a lot of people up. when that year was over and you looked at, well, Jimmy died from asphyxiation.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite clear what brought that on, but definitely there was drink and other drugs involved. And, of course, then Janice definitely died of an overdose of heroin.
Yeah.
And I
spoke to someone who said she was very heartbroken about Jimmy because they actually had been lovers at one time and that she was...
Shep's book. You read Shep's book. Oh, you didn't read it. He talked about when he was at that hotel, the famous hotel there, and he heard screaming and he thought a woman was being attacked and it was Janice and Jimmy downstairs at the hotel. And that's how he kind of got to know some of the people, all the musicians, and stayed there. But this is amazing when we do think about, you know, Janice still definitely lives on. Jim Morrison definitely lives on. And Jimmy, you know, maybe out of all of those, still the most legendary, possibly, still recognized as one of the greats. And there's a lot of people who try and have tried and tried and tried to match it, to do better, to say they are the next, right? A lot of contenders and pretenders. But there was only one Jimmy.
Absolutely.
And the guy was really, I mean, just when you look at him, he was like almost like an alien in a way. He was just like from another world. No one ever could imagine he did what he did, including how he, at the time, changed dresses, changed the way you dressed with the feathers and the amazing outfits and the whole thing. You know, he just had this flair.
Absolutely. He was a fashion icon and fashion forward. And, of course, you know, he fit right into the London scene at that time, which was also very obsessed with fashion.
That's true.
And also, I understand that he was influenced by his friend Arthur Lee Unlove Los Angeles, who was very extravagant dresser. But I remember growing up in the Village as a child, and everybody was wearing something unique and creative, and you just free form exploration of individuality. But Jimmy definitely had a very special and very magical and sensual flair to his dress.
And he became kind of the epitome and the sign of the 60s in a way. You look back at the 60s and Jimmy's there. Monterey Pop, what he did at Monterey Pop that was changed by him and with Otis.
Otis Redding
came out there and changed everyone's opinion of what was going on, right?
Oh my God. Love Otis Redding so much. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to speak just a little bit the Jimi Hendrix Foundation Music for Life program here on Maui. So I do offer free music classes to disadvantaged youth, and in some cases free instruments. And if anyone would like to take advantage of that, please feel free to call me at 572-1000 and I will arrange for that to happen for your child or your young adult. And also the Music for Life program does endeavor to support local musicians and creative artists on Maui in honor of Jimmy's creative spirit and the legacy of his life, music, and genius. We keep it alive, and I am making a heartfelt effort to bring this program and develop this program on Maui.
So for this coming Saturday, is this going to be a unique celebration of the people who love music? And you can be sure the people there are going to be music lovers, from the people on stage to the people in the audience. And everyone's going to have stories and reflections, just as we do, of course. And that's going to be part of the energy that's so great, is that the people are going to be able to share that. Oh, I got to play this one. Look what, I haven't seen this in ages. Rainy Day, Dream Away, Cut 10. I remember when I first heard this, oh my gosh, it was like, who does that? Who does that? Oh, you got two in here. Which is, oh, this is the right one. Okay.
And Billy Cox was telling me how Jimmy wrote that song.
Oh, wow.
They were poor as church mice, as the expression goes. They had nothing to eat. They had nowhere to live. They were in the village. And it started raining. They were in the car. They had been sleeping in the car.
Wow. And so.
And Jimmy looked out and said, rainy day, dream away.
I love this.
Cindy.
Now that's jazz.
That's jazz. That's straight jazz. One of the only songs with sax in it, too.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Take a look out the window and see what's happening.
That's right. As a matter of fact, Bruce Vogel was saying, can't I come play? He's with Soul Kitchen.
Hey, man, it's raining.
Hey, man, it's raining.
And this is the only song with sax on it that I can think of.
Oh, don't worry about that, brother. Yeah, there's going to be everything. We'll get into something real nice.
So
you know?
Smooth. And I met Jimmy.
Oh, did you?
Yes, when I was a little wild child in Greenwich Village.
Oh, I didn't know you were in Greenwich Village.
I was in Greenwich Village. I was raised in New York City.
Wow.
And
what you mean, bro.
I was probably 13 or 14 or something like that. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was, again, a wild child, running wild, and as Jim Morrison would say, right? But I just happened to be in front of Electric Lady Studios.
Oh, yeah.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, and Jimmy was watching me. He came out, he was watching me, and came to me, stood under the canopy that was there at the time, and just started talking like a beat poet. I mean, it was a spilling of words, like someone was just pouring diamonds out, pouring water out, it was just amazing. And I was trying to understand what he was saying, and he invited me into the studio, and he was just, I don't know why he spoke to me, but he was taken with me, and that was my, you know, a very special moment, because I had already very much been listening to his music.
Oh, you had?
Yeah, I had, because I had older friends, and here and there, you know, he was actually an artist that had really comforted me in a very traumatic childhood.
Uh-huh.
And the music and his words had really possessed me, you know, in a way that made me feel that I had someone else in the world that understood my feelings.
And so all of this evolved from that.
It must have.
This one I haven't heard in a while either. Voodoo Child, Slight Return. Wow.
And that's the one with If I Don't See You No More in This World.
Great stuff, huh?
Great stuff.
Did you go into the Electric Ladyland? Did you get in the studio?
No, I didn't go. They were building it, I think. They were like in the process of, they were still building it. They were recording there somewhat, but it was still being built out. But I honestly, as a little girl, it was a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know? And I was small and he was tall. It was like that, you know, and he was just spilling his words and his thoughts out to me. And it was a little overwhelming.
Well, you know, he was, and I think that's what kind of blew everyone away, because he's so much larger than life, and you could see that on stage and everything. Some people said he was quiet in person. I don't know about that.
Well, that's my understanding, but he wasn't quiet with me. He was engaging, to say the least.
Yeah, one of the great ones that he did from Bob Dylan.
Absolutely, Watchtower.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing that song.
Oh, you're going to do that?
With Kirk Evans, yeah, from the Automatics.
So you totally are going to have... You can have about 15 musicians on stage on Saturday?
Well, if we're just counting guitarists, I think we have 10. So
about
30, about 35 musicians altogether.
How do you do rehearsals for a show like this? Because it's hard to get everyone together from all sides of the island.
I don't run this like a show.
Uh-huh.
I consider myself musical director in the essence. But how I do this show after years of challenging rehearsal time is I invite guitarists who are deep lovers of Hendrix, and then the guitarists put together who they want to work with. There might be...
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't run this like a stage show from beginning, like a play beginning to end.
Uh-huh.
It's individual guitarists and or singers that need to put together their set and their players.
Well, I think we have to give a shout out to Mulligans.
Yeah, Mike O'Dwyer, thank you, my dear.
Because he embraces people coming to his place and doing things like this, and it gives people like you and Niels and others an opportunity to get out there and do these things. And you couldn't do this in a big venue. You know, it would be impossible. And it's expensive to
yes.
do this kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, I know people are doing it for love, but still.
Yes. Well, yes, it's thousands of dollars. And, you know, we have faith that we will have our expenses covered and be able to fund some portion of the program on Maui, because that's part of it too. I've been able to donate to the youth centers and to La Akea Foundation and to the Boys and Girls Club, that type of thing, to in relation to music education and offering support to the community. So yes, we have faith we will make our expenses and be able to have something left over to have the program function in a way that benefits Maui.
You know, I was thinking, because I'm sure you saw Bohemian Rhapsody, right?
Not yet.
Oh, you haven't
you
seen it?
You didn't invite me. No.
I went by myself. I just had to go see it, you know, but it was amazing. And, of course, the Jim Morrison show, the movie, was done very well. I think that was Oliver Stone. Did the Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone's done a movie on Jimmy.
Yeah, there have been one or two.
Have there? Because I haven't seen
but
it.
But it's so hard. It's just as you were saying in the beginning, you know, people can emulate him, and there are some players who look very similar to him and dress to emulate him, and it's very hard. I have to say that I had to leave a Randy Hanson concert many, many years ago when Randy Hanson first came out, because it just killed me, because it wasn't Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that Randy was wonderful. And there are other musicians who are creating Jimi Hendrix image and music and emulating him, but it's just heartbreaking for me. I just can't, you know, I just can't get up there and watch somebody pretend to be Jimmy. I mm-hmm. just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's too meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. And so these musicians that I have invited and, you know, they have expressed their love for Jimmy, they're bringing their individual interpretations and touch to the pieces. They're not emulating
right.
Jimmy so much. You know, they're bringing their own beingness into his music.
So they're allowed that freedom to do that interpretation
yes.
of
yes.
the song.
Yes, I want them to mm-hmm. to just I as long as they love him.
Yeah.
As long as they love him, that it's not about them, but it's about Jimmy. As long as they bring authenticity and their love and they're honoring Jimmy, I want them there. Although, you know, we are only going 3 hours this year.
I just have to play a little. Is this phasing, right?
Right, right. And Howard's doing this. Howard's going to do this. Gypsy Eyes.
Gypsy Eyes?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to remember, in the 60s, we didn't have the ability to do some of the tricks that you can do now.
Right.
With digital and overdub. So this was done. This, a lot of this ground, real groundbreaking stuff that he was doing.
And four track.
Yeah.
Right? Although I see the board in Electric Lady Studios, and it's massive, but the board is different than what records, the recording material. So, yeah, and the Beatles, too, right? The Beatles had two-track or four-track. I can't remember what they had. They just were dubbing back and forth like that. So, yeah, it's not about the equipment.
No.
You know?
No. And, in fact, if you go see, I know you will see Bohemian Rhapsody. They showed how they played with what they had limited space in their tracks and how they tried to do interesting effects with as well, you know. And then there were people like the Beatles and Jimmy and others that were breaking ground, of course, for others that came afterwards, because some of the people who are musicians never would have thought of doing what they were doing until these wonderful musicians were doing that. So,
absolutely.
And I, you know, it's just fun to, it's fun for me anyway, to reminisce about Jimmy. I actually had a musical instrument store called Paulus Music on Westwood Boulevard when I was 18 years old. I got out of high school early.
Oh, wow.
And
Cindy.
I remember getting a cassette, and an 8-track cassette. And someone said, you've got to listen to this. And of course, the 8-track cassette's in the car. So I go out to my car on Westwood Boulevard, and I put it in the cassette thing, and I went, I've never heard anything like this. And I was a music freak. A lot of good musicians came in and got their... Oh, gosh. Oh, this is, have you ever been to Electric Ladyland? But, you know, I remembered it. I mean, I remember still hearing that and going, I'd never heard anything like this before. And there was like, wow, look at what he is doing. It's amazing.
This is Midnight Lamp.
Is it?
Yeah, this is Burning of the Midnight Lamp.
It's just, to me, it's amazing, and it's a lot of fun. I just have to thank you for that, because, I mean, I really didn't know you were going to bring in these CDs. And I went, oh, my God, Jimmy CDs, I got to listen to some of the stuff. Because, you know, these days you don't get to even listen to many CDs anymore. They're all downloads.
I need the physical holding of the CD. I miss my albums and album covers and album cover art.
And, I wonder if we have any over there. I mean, we don't have a turntable out, but we had. I mean, in the studio, I played the albums, you know, and Jimmy was. I mean, and I played. That was in the days. Oh, I'm going to give George a hard time. He's on the phone. He's supposed to be here now.
Okay.
George, you're supposed to be here in the studio. Where are you? George? Okay. Well, I got to call him back. He's supposed to be in the studio, and I bet he's calling to say, I'm running late. George. God, I'm going to call him back. And I'm just like, George, don't do that. He begged to be on because he's got a lot of stuff going on. And I love George. I love you, George, but you're supposed to be here. Where are you, George?
And that's Jimi Hendrix brought my husband and I together.
Really?
Yeah, I came here. I was much slimmer then, and I was on a photo shoot, a like beautiful art photo shoot. And I was leaving the next day, and I walked down Baldwin Beach, and my husband said, "Oh,
he's not there." Okay, okay, George.
my husband said, "Let me walk you to your car, because there's a bunch of thugs out there, ruffians." So at Baldwin Beach? At Baldwin. You know, it was just local guys. Whatever. Yeah, yeah. He just wanted to flirt. And Mark, I've been with him 30 years. And he walked me to my car, and then we turn the car.
Oh, there you are, George. Just in time for the last 10 minutes. Yes, come on in. Rosalind, it's been wonderful seeing you.
Thank you. Cindy, this is so sweet of you. You're such an angel. And so your book is out, right?
Yes, it is. Thank you. And my CD.
And your CD. And what is the title?
Prayers, Affirmations, and Meditations is the book. And the title of the CD, which George has two songs on, is Peace, Music, and Poems.
Beautiful.
And that was submitted for Grammy consideration. We'll find out if it's making the final ballot.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm looking forward to getting it.
Get your tickets for this wonderful Electric Church experience this Saturday at Mulligan's. You can get it at Eventbrite, or you can call 572-1000 and talk to Rosalind. George, get on over there. Thank you.
Switch off real quick.
You know what? You made it, which is something in itself. Because I know you had your kids and the students and all that stuff going on. But let me introduce you. George, four-time Grammy winner, legendary player, has done a lot of things. But what he's got coming up is amazing. Is a new CD called Reminiscing.
Yes, I didn't know even how to spell it, but it's Reminiscing. It's actually an album that has my mom on it, my dad, my son, and songs written by my great-grandmother.
that's something. Now,
hold on, Hannah.
You also have, you're going to play with Rayatea Helm in a couple weeks on the 28th. On the 28th, you'll be...
Yeah, we're going to be at Kanapani Beach Hotel. Now, usually our show is at Napiti Kai Beach Resort, but then what's happening is Ram Dass is taking over the whole bay. He's being No, he does it once a year. He's actually... He books the whole bay, probably 2,000, Ram Dass people who love him. So they take the whole bay, and so they're kicking us out from the Napiti Kai Beach Resort. So we won't have a show that night. But what we did, we decided, let's go and try at Kanapali Beach Hotel. That's what we're doing now.
Well, if you want to see George, I'm on Facebook Live under Cindy Paulos here. And, yes, we'll tag George.
Okay.
You have a lot of Facebook fans, don't you, George?
Well, we actually have to pee. Let me take a picture of you before you leave. Hello. Get next to Cindy.
We're all taking pictures here. Yeah, he's taking a picture of you, and I'm taking a picture of you.
Okay. Now, let me take a picture of all of us here.
All right. We're all doing social media on the radio.
Okay, right on.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you have, everyone's giving you already thumbs up likes here. So, George, you're doing that, but I want to, before we get into all the things you're doing, I've got to say that I really appreciate the fact that you got some ukuleles together for the kids in Paradise, the City of Paradise.
Yeah, you heard about that, yeah?
I did. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, and our good friend Pepe Romero, you know, actually helps us out here on Maui, too, all the time. And we actually going to try and get ukuleles. We got so many guys who help us out. One is Pepe Romero from L.A. The other one is... Jason Jerome from Lahaina Music. We also got Millie Music over here. And we might be able to get some, we do the Hula Grill contest every year, and we're sponsored by Koloa Ukulele. So we're going to try and see if we can get some ukuleles out from all these different guys up to Paradise.
So how did you make that connection with Paradise? Was it Pepe Romero? How did you decide to get the ukuleles up there today?
The thing is, they contacted my social media person who is Elliot Presswich, and actually Elliot used to work here on the Maui. He was a teller at First Hawaiian Bank. I mentored him in Hawaiian music, and he went for his degree. He does all social networking, Facebook, Linked, all the Instagram, all of that. Yeah, he does a really great job. And so they Instagrammed him that they do this. I said, shoot. So we just used our contacts to make it happen.
And you got six ukuleles and the cases, because the cases are important with Kiki,
right? And the tuners and everything that
goes
along
with
it. Oh,
you got the whole thing, the whole package.
And the thing is, we have a close affiliation with the Paradise, because, they have a performing arts center there named after my great friend Norton Buffalo.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Norton, too. I used to have a station in Santa Rosa, and Norton would come in all the time. I love Norton Buffalo.
Yeah, so Norton and I did, we
did Amazing Grace.
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of songs on his album called From Paradise. paradise. It's called From Paradise.
Is it really?
It's different paradise. Yeah, I think it's over here. I gave it to you as a
Well, I have it playing on my station in Sedona. I play, and my Darling She Dances is on that
right.
one, and
There's
you do Amazing Grace. It's a wonderful season.
And also we did...
But that was actually done from Paradise?
Yeah, we actually went to his... I recorded all the songs in his studio in Paradise in
19...
And how we met was through Jesse Colin Young. Jesse Colin Young had
Len Ka'apana saying aloha, Uncle G.
Yeah. Hey, right on. He's over there, too. Hey, yeah, we just felt, you know, so too bad about
Cyril
Pahinoy. Now, Cyril, myself, Dennis, and even Led, we traveled for almost 20 years together for Dancing Cat Records, you know.
Really? Did you?
Yeah, I started from the 90s, like maybe 92, 93. We traveled with Uncle Ray Kane. And, you know, we did a lot of gigs together all across. We played everywhere from Great American Hall all the way to Carnegie Hall.
And then, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you record that? Any of that?
Yeah, we recorded a lot of stuff. In fact, Cyril used to come to my show. And actually, it was Cyril who got us started. We used to teach some workshops in Knoxville, Tennessee with Chet Atkins. I don't know if Led was over there, but it was me, Dennis, and Cyril for almost 10, 15 years before Chet Atkins passed away. In Knoxville, Tennessee, they had a Sheraton over there, and they had 2,000 rooms. They had 4,000 guitars, all aging from like, you know, 10, 11 years old, all the way up to 903 years old guys.
Oh, my gosh.
And we did it for a number of years. I know it was from the 80s until the 90s, you know, until...
Well, and I got a note also from John Neff, who was able to get the Pahinuis together for that CD a few years back. Remember that CD where he got three? Yeah, he got three of them together on that. It was about, what? No, that was more than that. It was 10 years ago.
Well, probably longer than that.
Yeah, it was when he had the studio up there with for Steely Dan.
Oh,
he recorded
them
all together. Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, so... I was fortunate. I also played in, where did I play? I played in Germany, Hanover, with Cyril. We played for the World's Fair in 1999.
Not.
Yeah, we did. We did a gig for 6 weeks. We did four to six shows a day. We played 5 days a week for 6 weeks up there, and they paid us a good amount. It was paid in marks, so I don't even know what the amount was. You know?
Well, if people, getting back to the ukuleles in Paradise, because I did not know that there was that connection with Norton Buffalo, which kind of really makes sense. You know, there may
And then,
some
you know,
people-
his wife has a yoga studio, Lisa, what's
She's
her last
the dancer.
Name? Yeah, Lisa Flora. And her, everything's gone.
She had a yoga studio there in Paradise?
Yeah, and with his recording studio, everything's gone. He had about an acre and a half or so.
Well, you know who had retired there? The headmaster, Joe Schmidt of, I think it's Joe, he was the headmaster of Seabury for 20 years.
Oh,
he retired there
in
his whole place.
Oh, I remember him because I played up there at the Seabury many times, you know, for their annual... they have a fear or something like that.
It was devastating. So, are you still able to gather ukuleles and get them there to the kids?
Yeah, what's happening? We're lucky that, you know, well, Pippa Romero makes the ukuleles in San Diego and LA. So he'll just, you know, we'll just probably Elliot will just drive down, pick them up, and take them back up there and see.
She's the wife of Norton.
Yeah, to Lisa. Lisa, yeah.
Lisa.
But Elliot is our guy. So
Elliot
will go down and get it, yeah. Lisa's
so
just trying to...
Is there a way people can help with that?
Well, they can just go to my... actually, that's another thing we're doing, a Kickstarter. That's why another reason we're here. Go to kahumoku.com. That's KAHUMOKU.com. And we're doing actually two other projects. One is a reminiscence CD, and I'm also doing a ukulele DVD. I've been working on this slacky ukulele. I first learned how to play... the ukulele in slacky tuning from 3 years old up to about 9, 10, 11.
I don't know if I've heard much slacky ukulele.
Well, I should have brought my ukulele so I could show
you. Yeah, but you brought this beautiful guitar. What are you going to play for me on this beautiful guitar?
Well, what song should we play?
Well, you probably don't remember. You did two songs that's on my Peace, Music, and Poems. And There is Great Peace, and the other was Peace and Harmony, but you probably don't remember those. And then Mahalo Ke Akua you did on the other CD. Remember Mahalo Ke Akua?
I remember Peace and Harmony. Yeah? It goes like this.
I love this beautiful 12-string.
Let me put it down.
Yeah.
I gotta bring this
I'll bring this over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me tune.
Okay. Oh, I better take the microphone out of the way. Nancy? Nancy Kamoko's watching. Better be good.
Hey, Nancy.
Happy anniversary, by the way. Nancy wants to know why George is wearing his farming apron. Because he's a farmer.
So I could carry my water, and I could carry my iPhone, and my keys to the truck. I didn't have a chance to change.
Left, so I've got to talk about this Kickstarter campaign. This is an amazing CD you're going to put out because there's been nothing else like it because it goes back a couple generations and people can be going to it. Pete, you got thumbs up and loves on that. It was beautiful. Yay!
Yeah, thanks. And that's on your album, Tell It Over.
It is. Peace, Music, and Poems. You did two lovely songs on there. Thank you so much for that. And by the way, Reminiscing is going to be another special one that's going to be out. That's on there at the Kickstarter campaign, and you have a second project on the Kickstarter campaign as well.
Yeah, the other one is the ukulele Slacky. I've been working on that for a number of years, and so we actually trying to get the graphics right. That's what took me a lot of time, but that's what I started off with. And actually, I'm playing a Pepe Romero ukulele.
Are you? Yeah. Oh, it all goes around in a circle.
Yeah.
Well, you do so much to help people. People don't realize that are watching. Maybe some of you. Nancy knows what a farmer you are, and you had a lot of. There was that terrible hurricane, and you had the damage of the water and got over that. And
the trees fell over. We had to trim our back all the trees. Trees fell on our driveway. We had to actually chainsaw our way out of our driveway so we get out. We lost our precious Milo trees, and we had to cut back our. Some of our, other indigenous trees. We had, Lily Quirk going all over.
I'm running out of time.
So much. Thank you.
But go to the Kickstarter campaign and help out. Kahumoku.com. And people can also message you if they want to help out getting more ukuleles to paradise.
Yeah, and if you want to, just call me at 808-280-9948. That's 808-280-9948. And also check out my Slacky show, 808-669-3858. And go to kahumoku.com. Thank you so much.
And it'll be with Raya Tea Helm on the 28th.
Yeah, at the Kanapali Beach Hotel. Special show.
Yo, aloha.
Aloha. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Thank you.
For thinking of us.